My name is Dr. Ada M. Fisher, and I am the North Carolina Republican National Committee Woman.
What can you tell me about what took place yesterday regarding Hassan Harnett?
Well, I can tell you that we had a central committee meeting in which various forms of business for the party was addressed. And we also addressed some concerns that people had about the operations of the party. And most of those were addressed in a closed meeting, which involves usually personnel issues, and much of that discussion is not to be made public. But a press release was evidently sent last night, which disclosed, I think it was 8 points. I'm not inside my house, so I can't tell you. I don't have a memo right in front of me. I'm in my car, but 8 points of concern that the committee issued, which related to their concern about the need for consideration of censure and a vote of no confidence in the chairman.
Okay. And so you said that this is not supposed to have been made public. Why was it sent out in a press release then?
No. What went on in the committee was not to be made public. When you have a when you have a closed session, a report comes out of that closed session to the body about what actions are recommended from that, but the details of it aren't made public.
Oh, I see. Okay. What were some of the concerns about what was happening with Mr. Harnett?
Well, I think that the memo states what the committee felt were their concerns. One of the concerns that was at the top of the list for me and other people is the misperception of what the party is supposed to do. Many people think that when you're elected chairperson, that that gives you some powers, which in the state party, it does not. The chairman of the party is pretty much a spokesperson for the party, but the governing body for the party is the central committee. And the central committee is the final authority on what can and should happen within the party. And in that regard, I think that one of the things that was mentioned was the fact that the central committee, a couple of meetings ago, maybe the last meeting before this one, had sent out notice that we wanted a call to convention, and the call to convention was to state the date, the place, the time of the state convention, and the cost of such convention. And in that meeting, I had brought up my concern that we needed to try as much as possible to keep fees and costs reasonable so that people could attend. A vote was taken on a set of fees, which I don't have it in front of me. It was either $75 or $90 for registration fee. And it was taken in a majority rule that they agreed with that. The chairman, after the vote was taken, then said, you know, he promised people when he ran for chairman that he would keep fees low, and he wanted a fee of $45. And so the central committee said, we just voted, and we agreed on a fee. And so I was a little taken aback and surprised to receive a memo from the chairman, which stated that he had unilaterally cut the fees to $45, which he didn't have the authority to do. And I sent him a memo saying, you don't have the authority to do that. The central committee is the abiding committee. And if you disagree, you could call a meeting of the Central Committee. You could ask for a renegotiation or a discussion on that. But instead, what I read in the memo says that these fees were done, and the memo went on to say some other things, which were quite disturbing. Then I don't remember if it was in the same memo or a different memo. It stated that the chairman said that his emails and stuff had been shut off. And one of the other things he said in the preceding section was that the party was imposing a poll tax, which had nothing to do with what was done. What was done was the cost of doing business. You know, we don't control hotel fees, meal fees, et cetera. And when they looked at a projected attendance and what that would cost, that's how the fees were determined. And so it was not the right thing to do to handle it that way. And then he said that his emails were cut off as if he was the only one whose emails were cut off, and it didn't happen that way. The vice chairman's email was cut off. And as I now understand, based on last night's meeting, the emails were cut off for all outside vendors. Now, I can't tell you who the outside vendors are because I don't know. But I was told before that happened that there was some concern about a cyber attack on the website and some of the other accounts that the party had had. And I have to admit culpability and responsibility, because my response then was that you need to investigate this and bring me some facts. Don't give me no he said, she said stuff. And also, you need to cut off the system until you can find out if there's a leak. And lastly, I said that if there were a cyber attack going, that you should notify the FBI, because these kind of issues of internet, whatever, and possible fraud are issues that the FBI should be involved in. I've had my own computer system attacked, and I sent an email to the FBI and saying I need this looked at. So the next thing that I can recall that happened as a result of that, I saw in an email from the chairman that implied that this was a discussion between him and members of the staff, and that he may not have been treated fairly. And I guess another comment was, am I not white enough for you or black enough for you? I don't remember exactly what was said. And I felt that was so unfortunate, because when the issue was brought to me, it was simply a thing about what do you do in the case of cybersecurity questions. And I will admit that one of the things that should have happened is people should have been notified that their emails were cut off, but they weren't. But nevertheless, if you got a possible cybersecurity, then you go and deal with it in the best way you know how. And I think that that's what they tried to do.
Now, I've heard quoted in other stories that the News and Observer wrote about this. I quoted someone, I believe his name was Rufty, as a last name, saying that the establishment Republicans were trying to undermine Mr. Harnett. What would you say to that?
Well, what I would say to anybody in the committee, and I think I said it last night, is that when something is wrong, you try to correct the wrong. And in this case, there was concern that there was a cyber attack. I think it was a genuine concern. The legal counsel was involved in investigating this issue. I expressed my concerns again last night that I still think the FBI needs to investigate this, because I'm not convinced that we have covered all the bases that we need to cover.
What about Mr. Harnett sending an email directly to Dallas Woodhouse? And when you quoted that, am I not white enough for you. A quote, it was in an email, I think, to Dallas Woodhouse. What's the problem between those two? I mean, is there some sort of tension simmering beneath the surface? Obviously, before this email thing occurred, there must have been something going on there.
I think you'd have to ask those two. I'm not privy to what they think or how they feel or anything. I can tell you that based on my concern, is it is a misunderstanding which floats about the roles within the party structure of who's in charge of what oftentimes.
Uh-huh.
And the position of organization is very specific for the most part on who can do what under what circumstances. And it defines a lot of things as being other people's responsibility that some people would like to have. And it doesn't exist because that's not what the plan of organization says.
How many members are there in the Central Committee?
You know, I can't answer that question because I don't know right off the bat.
Oh, okay.
Usually 30 people attend the Executive Committee, and I can't tell you how many people on the Executive Committee either because it's always updated. But it can be anywhere from 500 to 1,000, depending on how many things are submitted. And in the Executive Committee, which is the final arbitrator of what goes on in our Republican Party, the subset is the Central Committee is the operational leg of it. And that includes the party officers, the legal counsel, the treasurer, the secretary. And then it includes all the district care people. And it includes a couple of, like the Women's Club has a representative, the Young Republicans have a representative, the Hispanics have a representative. So there are a lot of people sitting at the table. You have a good cross-section of the Republican Party represented.
And were you at that meeting on Sunday night?
That's why I'm dragging right now. The meeting
yeah.
took till 9:15 last night.
Was it a vote that you guys took, and was the vote unanimous?
A vote on what?
To censure Hassan Harnett.
Well, we did indeed take a vote, and what you got in the press release was the decision of the committee in terms of what they would release. And that's all I can tell you about that.
Oh, okay. So you can't tell me whether or not it was as far as, like, numbers of who voted how.
No,
I mean,
it was a majority vote, and I can't tell you any more than that because that's part of a closed session.
I see.
And in a closed session, you're not supposed to reveal too many details.
Was it a close vote or?
Now you're getting to the same issue.
Same issue, yeah. Gotcha.
And it was non-equivocal vote.
What do you mean by that?
Now you want me to define something I'm not going to define.
Unequivocal vote. Okay.
It was clear what the consensus was.
I see. Okay. What does that essentially mean? What kind of weight does it carry?
Well, what it carries is it goes to the Executive Committee, and the Executive Committee can do several things. The best person to define the options for you would be the legal counsel, Mr. Tom Stein, and talk to him, and he will give you the breakdown of what the options are.
Is it conceivable that at this point that the Central Committee wants a change of leadership?
It's not the Central Committee that's looking for a change of leadership. The recommendation is that a change of leadership will happen.
Oh, okay.
We weren't looking for it. It's just that when you weigh the evidence, the preponderance of evidence came down on the side that this could not stand and could not continue forward.
Okay, so this is not even so much of a censure as it's the beginning of a process where Hassan Harnett will be replaced?
No, we don't have that power. The Central Committee does, again, I go to the plan of organization. The Central Committee does not have the power to hire and fire a chairman. The chairman is elected. To be removed, it has to go before a vote of the executive committee. All we can do is make recommendations, and the executive committee will do whatever it thinks is advisable.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought was the executive committee not a part of what happened on Sunday? Do I have that mixed up?
All of the members on the central committee are part of the executive committee, but this is a subcommittee of the executive committee, which is charged with the operational aspects of the party on a day-to-day basis. So anything beyond what was done has to go to be acted on by the executive committee.
Oh, okay. So it's conceivable, though, that some of the members who voted for Hassan Harnett's censure are also on the executive committee.
Right. Everybody who's on the central committee, maybe the treasurer and a couple other people aren't on this executive committee, but all of us, generally speaking, are involved with the executive committee.
Okay. Is there any sort of, do you think that the executive committee is going to take quick action?
I can't read minds. I have no idea what people are going to do.
Okay.
I have a hunch. But I can't publicly comment because I have been fooled on several occasions.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about this being a misunderstanding in the beginning. Had you heard rumblings or anything like that of discontent with Hassan Harnett before the email controversy, or even from him himself?
You're misperceiving what is going on. It is not. For me, it is not a thing of discontent with anybody, as a thing of people not understanding the plan of organization and complying with the plan of organization. Because if we don't have an overarching plan to run the party, then we go into chaos. And that's why you have the plan of organization, to prevent chaos. So, you know, on several occasions, we call upon the legal counsel to clarify things or to let people know that we need to follow the plan of organization.
Well, it does seem like Mr. Harnett himself was definitely upset and fired off some pretty pointed emails and comments.
I can't speak for Mr. Harnett or his state of mind. All I can tell you is, people will follow the plan of organization, be it me, a district chairman, or anybody else. Every member of the executive committee is bound by the plan of organization.
Mm-hmm. So regarding the ticketing, so the tickets essentially are still set at whether it was $75 or $90, not at
right.
$45.
The tickets are set at what the central committee agreed upon.
I see. Okay. Okay, you know, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything else about this that you want to say?
Yeah, I want to say that this is the most intriguing election atmosphere that I can recall in all of my 49 years of membership in the party. And it's not just the Republican Party. If you look at what's happening in the national level, one of the things that I am very clear on in my mind is that the public, be they Democrats or Republicans, are sending parties a message that says, we are tired of the same old stuff and we want you to be accountable. And so we are trying very much to be accountable and to listen to what people are saying. I think you see that we have some interesting candidates, particularly Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, who reflect the discontent that people have with business as usual, and I think parties need to pay attention to it.
What do you think that says about Hassan Harnett and his rise as party chairman?
What do you mean, what it says?
Well, because Hassan Harnett himself was not endorsed by the major Republican figures like Pat McCrory, Tom Tillis. They had all thrown their support behind someone else, and yet Hassan Harnett was elected. Do you think the same thing that you were talking about is happening in the North Carolina Republican Party?
I think yes and no. One of the things that you know about elections is that the people who win are usually the people who get out their vote. And so he got out his vote, and he won. I am one of the few officers of the party that didn't endorse, because we have a rule in the plan of organization that says that officers of the party shall not endorse candidates in any contested election. And that refers to the general election out there. But as a person on the one of the offices, I've applied that to any office within the Republican field of play. So I don't endorse people in contested elections.
I see. Okay. Do you have a personal, I'm not sure if you'll want to answer this, but do you have a personal opinion on Hassan Harnett's leadership, or whether or not he should stay or go?
Well, the committee made a recommendation, and I stand behind the recommendation of the committee as an officer of the party.